Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Here we go. Here we go. What a great fat fade out. He's paranoid. Such a great fade out. That's one of your more obscure Dr. Hook songs. The first time I heard that was when our next guest, we're going to have on in a second, Dennis LeCorrier, the lead singer of the voice of Dr. Hook, was doing, I don't know if you'd call it a comeback gig, a warm-up gig, I don't know what it was, at the Mean Fiddler, this tiny little club in London, North London, and I took my mum and he came out and I think he opened with that song. And man alive, it's a great song. I'm thrilled to say, ladies and gentlemen, would you please welcome Dr. Hook, Dennis LeCorrier. He's here, Dennis!
Hey.
How you doing, man?
I'm all right. I'm all right. It's been a very, very strange year, you know. It was one of those things, because I was rocking. I was just rocking. I'd just been on the road with the band.
Dennis, let me stop you. We've got a weird echo on the line. Our phones here are so rubbish. Can we call Dennis back immediately, please? Because the phones, you wouldn't have thought, £25 million studio, and we can't get a phone system that works.
And let me tell you something, he did not sound like that when I called
him. No, I know. This place is so lousy. This is a big exclusive. Dennis is coming back, I don't want to say from the brink of death. I want to dramatise it a little bit. But Dennis has been very poorly, and we're going to find out exactly what. But I want to speak to him echo-free, for goodness sakes. Or maybe it's just his voice is so powerful. Maybe it was like he had his own echo going on there. You just don't know. Dennis, let's try that. I'm really sorry, man. Let's try.
No, that's all right, man. If you couldn't hear me, you know, I would have kept rabbiting on even if I got a dial tone.
Listen, I have to say very quickly, we're going to talk about where you've been and why you've been a bit quiet in a second. But I want to address that song, Everybody Loves Me, right?
It's a great song.
I think it's a real Hook song, in as much as it's catchy as hell. There's kind of like a little country vibe going on, and it is packed full of really, really dry humour. Am I right that that comes from the album Bankrupt? And
you guys were actually
bankrupt?
That's a song that I started writing, and Rick in the band, Rick Ellswood, helped me write the middle section about whatever happened to the cold, cruel world I used to understand, you know. I mean, there's some great line, Rick, some great writing in there, so I was so glad he got involved. But it's no, you know, that's one of those songs, like you said, even when I played acoustically and played alone,
yeah,
to keep that in. Because, you know, you don't need a lot of music. There's a lot of words.
But you guys, this was like your third or fourth album, but you guys were skin, and that's why you called it Bankrupt. You basically spaffed all your money away. Is that right? Or you've been ripped off?
Well, man, we didn't blow it on parties. We were an opening act, you know, and opening acts don't play for money. They play just for exposure. And so we started getting on the bill with, like, huge acts, like Emerson, Lake and Palmer, and I mean, everybody, you name it, the Eagles, and they had air jets and stuff and taking them around, and we had to rent a car, so we just went broke, literally trying to stay on the road with those big acts, you know.
Now, listen, Dennis. Let's talk about it. You've been really quiet. You're normally very vocal, both in life and on Twitter and stuff. You've been like properly ill. You've not just had like a cold or something. You've been really ill. Now, I'm going to let you say as much as you want to say. I kind of know what's been going on, but what do you want to say to the boys and girls and the fans?
Well, I realized that I kind of just faded away there really quickly. When we started, you know, the band had been going, we've been doing stuff all around the world for 3 years, and it really felt great that we were going to start this 50th anniversary tour. And everybody's really geared up for it. And, you know, I had started feeling a little rocky around Halloween of the year before, you know, October, November, through Christmas, just feeling a little rocky, but everybody has the flu. And everybody talks about, oh, you get the flu, and then 2 weeks later it goes away, and then 2 weeks later you have it again. So I was just thinking it was that, because we were gearing up to go on the road and start this 50th anniversary tour, and, you know, nothing was going to get in my way of that. And we went out, and we started in Norway, and we did, like, four shows. Then we were scheduled to have a little break. And I have to tell you, man, I was just like, you know, freezing when I was in bed and not eating anything. I mean, I think overall I lost almost 2 stone. And it's one of those things where you don't, when I think back on it now, I think, oh my, how did I not see this? But I was just wrapped up in what I was doing. And, you know, I'd been ill on the road. I've sung a whole week in a club with strep throat, you know, because you just have to do it and you heal on the mend. But in this case, I did the four shows. I felt really, really rocky. I mean, I was having a hard time even just pulling my suitcase. And when I got home, we were supposed to have about 2 weeks off. And I said, you know, I'll get some flu tablets. I must have the flu, you know, because everybody in the band was sick. We were in Norway. It was 9 below 0, you know. So I went to my GP. Actually, I didn't even have, I'm going to brag a little bit here. I didn't have a GP because I don't get sick, you know. and I went in, and there was a woman, and she said, she's very nice, and she said, okay, well, you know, maybe you have the flu, and she gave me some nasal spray, and she said, but when are you going back on the road? I said, in about 2 weeks, about on Valentine's Day. And she said, well, do yourself a favor, and in the next couple of weeks, go take a blood test, get a chest x-ray, and so we have some basis for you when we send you back on the road. And, you know, and she even used the expression, at your leisure, go get a blood test.
At your leisure, wow.
Yeah, she did. Wow. She did. And, you know, at your leisure, you know, you go get a blood test. But before you leave, just leave us with some traces of you, you know. So I did. I went and had a blood test. I went right away, just to get it over with, quite honestly. And the next morning, I got a call. And the GP had given me some tablets for the flu and stuff, and I thought, okay, well, I got 2 weeks. I'll lay around here and I'll
get
back on the road. We'll keep rocking. Bit of a glitch. And the hospital called me like the next morning and said, have you ever had kidney disease? Jeez. And I said, no. Maybe I had a kidney infection or something when I was a kid. And they said, well, you have it now. Your kidneys are failing. You need to get in here. And I said, when? And they said, like, now.
Wow.
So I had to go. And when I went, I'll make this part of the story because I've been in the hospital twice for about 2 weeks at a time because they're monitoring this and monitoring that. And you know, kidney disease is it's a weird thing because people walk around and don't know they have it.
Yeah.
You know, like 1.8 million people or something have it, and about that many people, again, just feel like crap and don't know why, you know. But so that just began all that, and I had to cancel, like, the rest of the year of shows.
And you had a lot of shows.
Gutted me.
You had a lot of shows. What is the machinery behind that? If you cancel a show because you're poorly, is there like do you have an insurance policy? How does that work?
Yeah, you know, it's the old story about you take out insurance and a lot of insurance and hope you never have to use it.
Yeah.
And in this case, yes. So in this case, it covered
Okay.
First half of the year, and everybody was, you know, everybody was fine, which pleased me, you know what I mean? But I had to stop because doctors said, you're not going to, because I was going to go to Australia. We were going to do 22 shows in about 30 days. You know, it's a grind.
Yeah.
And they said, we're not going to put you on an airplane or have you get the flu over there. You can't do it. And so I pretty much had to cancel all of Australia. I had to cancel the UK tour. And because, quite honestly, it was like one step at a time.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest reasons I was quiet and didn't give everybody updates was because, I swear to you, man, every time I had one, a day and a half later, somebody would call me and go, "Oh, that don't look good."
Yeah.
And or that looks better.
Right.
You know. And I didn't know where to freeze it, you know, to make a statement to everybody, because I didn't want everybody to think. Well, the funny thing, I was going to say, I didn't want anybody to think I was dying, but from what the renal department tells me now, when I went in, I was pretty close to, like, if I would have had anything else wrong with me, the flu, diabetes or anything, I might have checked out. I mean, I was pretty close to Halo and HARP. And I didn't know that.
Look,
I mean, I did four shows like that. So, you know what I mean?
Oh, mate.
I didn't know that, but I couldn't have done a fifth show.
Here's the thing. Here's how I knew you were ill, because I spoke to you on the phone, and we were only on the phone for 5 minutes, and I did most of the talking. That's when I thought, ah, geez, he's really ill.
No wonder you haven't had me on in such a long time. I couldn't breathe.
You couldn't, because when I speak to you on the phone, it's wonderful. It's like an hour or 90 minutes of life advice, and I just sit there and absorb it. And when it was me, and you said, I've got to go now, I'm feeling a bit tired, I thought, oh, man, Dennis ain't well. This is not a good sign. And also, you know, the one thing you did tell me is how upset, you know, genuinely, this isn't showbiz bullshine, how upset you were at cancelling the shows, A, because of the fans that wouldn't see the shows, but B, because of the band member and all the road crew that kind of depend on you to feed their families
and stuff. They commit.
Yeah.
They commit time. You know, we were going to do a 2-year world tour. And so they were doing the best they could to commit big swatches of time to me, and to do that, and to Dr. Hook. And, you know, if it just gets cut off the knees, because, man, it was very, very strange. It was very, very strange to just be cut off like that. I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that. Somebody saying to me, no, no, man, you need to sit down. You know, and because I have to tell you, man, when I say I didn't know that,
yeah,
that I was that bad, poorly, I'm not exaggerating or trying to come off like some superhero. I just didn't know.
No.
I just thought I felt like crap, and I would do a couple of more gigs feeling like crap, and then I'd start feeling bad
again.
Well,
of course. That's what it's been for the last, I don't know, 50-odd years for you. You get a cold,
exactly.
You work through it, and then you start getting better.
Exactly. So to just to bring it forward,
yeah,
so this isn't a whole conversation. So where I am is I'm pretty stable. Like, there's no, you know, renal doctors, kidney doctors, are the only doctors in the world that say to you, "So how do you feel?" And you say, "Pretty good." And they say, "Oh, I don't know about that."
Wow!
You know, because they're watching your potassium and your phosphates and your this and your that, and luckily for me, I've never really been an excessive, like, I don't eat a lot of junk food, I don't do dairy stuff, but mostly always just for me, you know.
Yeah.
I just didn't do dairy stuff because I'm a singer and it bungs me up and stuff like that. And on the road, you try to eat what you can as best you can, because, you know, that's how you live on the road. You look at your itinerary and you go, okay, I got 5 nights in a row coming up. I'm not going to eat or sleep much, but then I got 2 nights off, so I can really try to sleep in there and grab a bite.
Yeah.
You know, and you conserve yourself like anything else, and that you pace yourself. But I literally hit a wall. I could not have done another show. And for me, it's down to, it was lucky that when they said, go do, at your leisure, get yourself a blood test, and I went right then.
How are you now?
Because you were like on zero.
You're still poorly. we've got shows coming up. We're going to plug the hell out of those shows. Me and Kath are going to come. We're going to find
okay,
one. We're
cool,
going to come.
Great,
but
great.
But how are you now? What is the deal with the kidneys now?
Well, kidney stuff, it doesn't go away. You can do dialysis if it gets too bad, you know, and that means they plug you into a machine 4 days a week, and I'm not there. But I'm at a good place right now.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel stronger than I have, Lord knows. And I did a rehearsal with the band last week, and it felt great. And the band is great, and I felt good. And, you know, we don't have a lot of gigs coming up because I can't commit to too many, you know. But there are a couple of them that didn't want to postpone when we were canceling stuff. They went, let us just hang on to these gigs and see if it gets better, which is flattering. And I do want to do a couple because it's a little closer to the truth for me, man. You know, I was really pleased to go see the band and see everybody because it's a big part. It's a big, obviously, doing the singing and the band, and it's always been a big part of my existence on some level, And for it to just be like, you know, and everybody said, well, don't worry about it. We have insurance and everything will be covered. And it was a little bit like coming out of a coma and having somebody say, well, your legs are gone, but we got you some nice wheels. You know what I mean?
I knew
there was a way forward, but I wasn't quite ready to just... That's been the biggest thing, is getting my head around the fact that this has actually happened.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to live around it and with it now.
Instead
of sitting around being angry and you know, all the stuff that you go through. And, oh, why did this have to happen to me? I know why it had to happen to me. I know who I am.
Can I just say, Kath, Dennis is feeling better. I can't get a word in edgeways. Everything. No, I'm not complaining. I'm pleased, Catherine. It's a great sign.
Okay.
what are these? So the concerts you got coming up, what are they? Do you know? Because I'm just going onto your website to try and find them, but I'm not sure I can.
One of them is like this resort thing that we had booked right at the end. It was going to be right at the end of the British UK, you know, the British 50th anniversary tour.
Yeah.
And it's like a little hotel kind of place. And the people in the hotel, they sell it a weekend for people to come. So it's not a big gig. It's really little, like an exclusive gig.
Oh, is this the one in December? Hungerford?
The tour and stuff like that. And it turns out it's the only one that survived. You
okay.
Know?
Is this the one in December in Hungerford?
Yes.
I got it.
And so, you know, you go and you spend, and it's a nice place, I hear. It looks beautiful, and then you do whatever you do on the lawn, and you walk around and you have some nice meals, and eventually we come up out and disrupt everything, and then things goes back to normal, you know. And then I got something coming up in January in Denmark, I think.
And you're well enough to travel, obviously, then. You are today. Let's see how it is.
Out and back things right now. And, you know, like I said, I was about to do 22 dates in 30 days in Australia.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have done that. But for me to say I couldn't have done that isn't easy. Because I've never known myself not to be able to get through that stuff.
Tales of mystery and imagination on the radio show that does things differently.
Dolly Parton, I listen to a record that they love.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee.
I'm a nutjob, but not that kind of nutjob.
On Talk Radio.
Honest to God, it's the new Breaking Bad.
Oh no.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners, and lounge lizards.
Yeah, well, where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
But it's just a thing that happens, man. It's a thing that happens, and just so everybody, I don't even like talking about it, but I'll just say what it was. It was an enlarged prostate, you know. I'm an older guy, and so, you know, when they say to you, well, are you peeing strange? I said, I'm 69. Of course I'm peeing strange. You know what I mean? I didn't think that was a sign of impending doom, you know. But it was that. It was an enlarged prostate, which actually led to a thing that did something to my bladder. And my bladder backed up, and it sort of crushed my kidneys. That's as medical as I can get on this. And my prostate's fine. And my bladder's fine, and my kidneys are screwed, and your kidneys stay screwed.
Right.
So where I am right now is I am looking for, I'm going through, there's a lot of tests. I started talking to them about a kidney transplant. Because, the one thing I want to know, one thing this incident really robbed me of is I just turned 70, and I was feeling really good when I was 69 and a half. And I can't, and I want to know how I actually feel at 70. Yeah. I don't want to go, I feel pretty good for a guy with kidney disease. I want to know, I want to get back to as square one as I can. Mm-hmm. So I know how I feel. That's why I wanted to do the thing with the band, because that makes me feel like me. Because, I can't sit on the sofa and think, oh, yeah, I feel like doing a show today. One of the things, there's two things that I never use unless I'm on the road or doing shows, and that's an ego and adrenaline. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And those come into play because you walk out on stage and the ego is, well, I'm not going to make a fool of myself in front of you, and you do what you can, and adrenaline is just whatever you get back, and it makes you feel. And so, I can do some shows. I would not want to go out on the road now. They wouldn't let me, go out on the road and live like that and see what's for breakfast. You know what I mean? I have to, or if there's breakfast, it needs to be a little closer to that. But I have to tell you the truth, man. I mend quickly, I'm proud to tell you. Mm. I really am. I mend quickly, and I only knew that. I didn't know I mended quickly until I fell apart, and I must be, except for the kidney disease, pretty healthy, because I've never had so many doctors tell me what good shape I'm in, except for that, you know what I mean? And so that's good to know.
Also, Dennis,
I need to know now anyway, because I'd like to get back out and do some more of these shows.
You've just written your next song, I Didn't Know I Mended Quickly Until I Fell Apart. That's a country hit if it's waiting for one.
This is the thing. I lived in Nashville for too long, and it's just kind of just still drips into your shirt cuffs and stuff. It comes out once in a while.
Well, listen, Catherine, do me a favour.
Yeah.
Give Dennis one of your kidneys. Come on, do it.
I'll get on a donor list. That's the thing.
Yeah.
I'll get on it. I don't want to do that to anybody else. I don't want to say to somebody, look, I'm 70, and I'd like you to be a little less so that I can live another 45 minutes.
Also, Dennis, I can't vouch for what I've done to my internal organs. So you're probably better off.
A lot of tests, man.
Kath's kidneys are in a terrible shape anyway. She's lived. She looks good, Dennis, but she's lived a life. Inside, it's a husk. It's a husk.
Yeah, no, there's no sense we doing this, Kath, if you're not going to keep me alive for more than a half hour.
I guarantee
you. Our kidney failed too. Who would have thought it?
We've got you another 30 minutes of life. Dennis, going off on a complete tangent, is it right that you were the first person to ever introduce Prince on American TV?
Yeah.
Isn't that a great bit of rock and roll trivia? Go on, happened?
It's true. Ray and I, it was on Midnight Special.
Yeah.
And Ray and I introduced him. And then he came out, and this very early on, he did that thing, I want to be your lover. And he had his little camisole on and high heels and stuff, and pretty shocking for then, you know. But yeah, we did. And also Leo Sayer when he first was the Harlequin figure.
Yeah.
And that a lot of acts were on that show, and we used to host it because we could read.
here's the weird thing about Dr. Hook, right? I, as you know, I'm a huge fan, but Dr. Hook always felt for me like, I don't know what they are. They're a pop band, or they're a country band, or they're rock and roll. You guys, you're very hard to define.
Yeah. Well, but see, it was just, first of all, we started off as a bar band.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And what is your repertoire is, I've said this before, but your repertoire is pretty much a list of songs that will prevent you from being killed. You know what I mean? And some of that is country. And some of that is, you know, somebody will come up and go, hey, you know, any horn? Play a hula. My wife wants to do the Hawaii dance, you know. And you play it at peril of your own life. And so you learn a lot of things. And when we recorded, we had our common thread, especially in the very beginning, was Shel Silverstein's lyrics, his great songs. And we soon found out that you could do it as a ballad. You could do it up tempo as long as you didn't step on the song.
Yeah.
And so we used to try to give each song its own little character, you know? I mean, that's why, because Shell songs are a lot of lyrics, and if you just plod behind there and you don't really roll in any scenery, then you got a lot of. And it really requires people to listen. I think Hook Records used to. You know, even with that thing, Everybody Loves Me, it's not Shells, it's me and Rick, but there's a lot of words. But when I was listening to it on the phone before you had me come on, it tickled me because you can hear the words.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you know what's being said because they were important, you know. And the Hook was, I think that's probably the thing about Hook that made us a general success with people is that we sounded like we meant it, no matter what we were doing. But, yeah, no, it confused people. We were a singles band, and, you know, people that love the Bigfoot with a guitar, he doesn't, you know, really, I didn't really like him when he put eyeliner on, you know what I mean?
Do you regret?
If you last long enough, they can get you hate you for something.
Dennis, do you regret? Because, like, the first three, four, I know there's a divide in fans, right? And the first three, four, five albums of Hook are weird, they're funny, they're filthy. I mean, there's songs from the early albums that we could not play on the radio because they're so filthy, right?
Yeah.
Then, of course, when you started having big hits, like, you know, When You're in Love with a Beautiful Woman, which is a great song, but that kind of changed the band. I'm guessing that it changed the dynamic within the band. Do you ever, regret is probably the wrong word, but do you ever regret having those huge hits?
Nah, you know. You can't really look at it that way, you know. I mean, I tried, because Lord knows, from Sylvia's Mother to Sexy Eyes, okay?
Yeah.
Sylvia's Mother is a better song.
Yeah.
Sexy Eyes is a great record.
Yeah.
Sounds good on the radio, you know what I mean? And you can't knock it. And you get to a certain place, I mean, like where I am now, and I look at it, and no, I don't really regret any of it. There's some I liked a whole lot less. There was some at the time that I thought, well, you know, just like everybody else was thinking, what the hell, what do you mean Dr. Hook's going disco?
Everybody else,
I felt that, yeah. Okay? But we're in the middle of, we just went bankrupt. What do we need to do? We need to feed our children. Yeah. We need to have a life. We need to keep the band on the road, which costs money. Very few bands, after they hit bankruptcy, where we did, would have stayed together and just start playing in bars again and regrouped. You know what I mean? And came back. A lot of bands at that point would have thought, well, we had a couple of good years on the road. Yeah. What else can we all do individually? But we stayed together. And, you know, and then, yeah, all the hits, Sharing the Night Together and a little bit more. Right now, man, for me, when I do the 50th tour, I do those shows, or any shows, quite honestly, it's just the whole lifespan of stuff,
yeah.
You know. And I have to look at it at like that now. I have to look at it and appreciate it for what it is instead of what it felt like piece at a time, you know, because it does become a hole. It does become a hole.
Some of the, I mean, I've got, you know, some of the hits that people might forget. Sharing the Night Together, right, is a brilliant song. I Don't Want to Be Alone Tonight. Do you know that one, Kath? I don't want to be alone. I'm singing it to Dennis. That's embarrassing.
Yeah, and that's Shell's song. It's a great song.
Is that a Shell song?
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't realise that. Oh, that's a great pop song.
Yeah. Well, Shell, when Shell wrote anything, he had a little guitar.
Yeah.
Nylon string guitar, and he plunked it out, and he sang a melody, and maybe later he sang the melody differently, but he'd say to me, just sing it however you want it, you know, just don't change a word. He didn't want you to change a word. And so that's what I was saying to you before.
Yeah.
In the studio is where we gave those songs, okay, well, let's do this that way and this way. And we had studio musicians, which were really cool and inventive. It just wasn't down to the guys in Hook after a while. Because, you know, we used to spend all our time in the studio making those early albums. And then once we got, you know, popular, we had to be out working.
Yeah.
And so when we'd come in, we had a couple of days to cut a few tracks and stuff. And we would be using studio guys on all those big hits and stuff, just like everybody else.
Just like everyone
did.
You know, so the Beach Boys did. The Beach Boys didn't play on their records.
I was just going to say, half the people in the Hall of Fame didn't play on their own records. You know what I mean?
Here's the
and
thing.
You find that out. But that's not the important part. It all works itself out.
Yeah. Here's another thing, Dennis. We're going to let you go in a minute. But man alive,
you don't have to let me go, but you probably want to.
Yeah. I don't want you dying on the show. That's the thing. Your rest. It's so good. It's so good hearing you sound so well, man. I've not heard you sound this well for ages, and it's a thrill. The one thing that you told me you were really peed off about when you got ill, was the fact that you had recorded, and I've got it because you were very kind enough to send it to me. You'd recorded the first Dr. Hook album in years.
Yeah.
And it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And I know you're saying
Willie Dowling, our keyboard player, and I did some stuff in his studio in France.
It's brilliant.
And we finished it just at the end of us finishing what we recorded. I started to feel a little rocky. And you know, and it's the band, it's, you know, Dr. Hook, I love this kind of synergy, man. The band is, you know, I'm saying, okay, ladies and gentlemen, this is Dr. Hook 2019.
Yeah.
And that's who's on the Dr. Hook 2019 album.
Yeah.
It's not a bunch of session guys, it's this group, you know, with an additional female singer on the record. But we finished that, and it doesn't, you know, now it was, I loved it. I loved doing it. I didn't know I had another album in me. I didn't know anything. Willie just wanted to do it, and he's a lovely guy, and he's an enthusiastic guy, and he just kind of started pulling things out of me, and I was, you know, I give him a cassette with a song on it that I wanted him to consider we might record, and instead he'd listen to the song after it, and he'd go, what about this one, you know, and I needed that, and we got a lot of great stuff, and then, you know, we started the tour, and it ended 4 gigs in. It was the end of that. This is the weird part. This is the business part. You know, it's like anything else. Your record was brilliant. It was lovely. It was, you know.
But so what do you do with it? Sense memory.
We have to sell it, you know. Now we have to find somebody. And, you know, right now I'm in the enviable position of having to find somebody without a tour and not feeling so great. So it's like, I can't go, hey, let's go. Vim and Vim. Okay, look, if you just don't make me tired and we could promote this record, you know. And it's a shame. It's a shame. And it's just all got me gutted, you know. It's all got me gutted, but I'm having to. I don't need to feel bad and then feel bad about feeling bad.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. So the album is called Sense Memory. Is it? You haven't got a label for it? We don't know what's going to happen. Because it is great. I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. It is genuine. I listened to it on the way into work ages ago when you sent it to me. And I came in and I said, Cass, I've got the new Dr. Hook album. I'm going to be honest. It's bloody excellent. And it is. It's everyone's a winner. So what happens with it?
I don't know. I don't know. I the one thing I think about it is that when I listen to it, even now, months later, there's nothing on there that's particularly aged.
No.
there's nothing on there that you'll be able to go, oh, yeah, you must have cut that in 2018. I recognize the drum sound.
Yeah.
It's just music. And so everything in my life is on hold right now. But thank goodness I have this bit of work that right now, you know, right now trying to get media and labels and stuff interested in this when I'm hopping on one foot. I don't need it. I don't need it. I just need to go out and do these gigs and do the best I can, and I'm excited about those. You know what I mean? I'm trying not to focus on what I'm not doing right now, because that album will hold. That album will hold, and I think it's if I get this back together like I'd like to, then we're back out doing the 50th, because, you know, it's just celebrating 50 years of music. It's not like, well, it wasn't in the 50th year, so you're out.
It doesn't count.
It's whenever it starts. And if I can do that, then maybe this record makes sense to people. I don't know.
It's a very bold move to make an entire album of rap, Dennis. That was brave, but it works. It works.
Yeah, listen, you know, thank God you're going to play something.
Imagine.
I'm happy with it, man. What
Good.
Am I going to say?
You should be.
You know,
brilliant.
I can't say too much and then people don't hear it. They will hear something here. I guess as soon as I hear a dial tone, they'll hear that song.
Listen,
we're going to
say goodbye. We're going to play some ads because I've missed two ad breaks and I'm going to get told off. Then we're going to come back. And what song is it we're going to play? Give us the name of the song.
It's called When It Stops Raining.
Beautiful.
Dennis, so wait a minute. Now the ad breaks are going to be between us.
No. All right. Screw the ad
breaks.
Screw the ad breaks.
Screw
the ad breaks. We're going to play the song then and I'll get the sack.
Yeah, otherwise, well, no, I wouldn't want that. Well, listen, if you do, there's another song on the album that you'd like.
We're good. I like them. Tell me which other one to play.
The sack. There's one on there for you.
Oh, no, there is. You're right. Listen, we're going to play it now. The ad breaks can... Who cares? I think we're going to get the sack anyway, the way it's going. Dennis, brother, it's so nice to hear you talking and sounding upbeat. And when I spoke to you, I don't know, a couple of months ago, there's such a difference in you, and I got my fingers crossed, and a lot of people are sending lots of love. I know Kath is as well,
great.
And a lot of people
thank
listening.
You, I appreciate this time, too, because I kind of wanted to step back into the social thing.
Yeah.
But like I said to you, if you and I have a conversation, you know, mate to mate, it's a lot better than me sitting here trying to think, now, what's the first thing I should tweet after a year?
Oh, geez.
You know? And so now it is whatever it is. And people will hear this, and I guess they'll hear your podcast, whoever hears it later. And I just want to, I appreciate the time, because I feel like I haven't said an awful lot, but I know why I haven't.
Yeah.
But I feel like it was probably time to say something. So I hope I haven't bunged up your whole show with medical emergencies. There's not like a blue light going on, like an ambulance thing or anything.
Before we go, of course, we need to get your opinion on Brexit. I'm joking.
Yeah,
don't.
You know something? I still don't. Every time these people say that, I think they're going to say breakfast. And, you know,
Dennis,
I've only started eating breakfast since I got poorly because I'm home.
Hey, can you believe you? Someone on your social media posted the first time that we met when I was at LBC. That was 2006. That was 13 years ago.
I know. You. I saw that picture today. You look like you're 15.
You look about 16.
And like it's a first job in radio, and it looked like that was probably my last. Yeah.
It was such a thrill because, I grew up listening to you because my mum, and it was such a thrill when, your name was, does anyone want Dennis? And you're too right. And then since then, you've been so kind to me, man. You've been so kind to my mum. And the fact that I listened to you when I was a kid, I don't want to make you sound old, but you are. I listened to you when I was a kid, and I now consider you as a friend, and you've been so lovely to my family, Dennis. So you come on here anytime you want and you share anything you want, and I'm honoured that I'm going to be one of the first person to play a song off the new album. So thank you, man.
Yeah, you're absolutely going to. So thank you. Thanks, everybody. I'll see you on social media now and then. Bye-bye.
I love you, Dennis. Take care, man. Here we go.
It's gonna be a wet one, the weatherman said. Don't go outside without a hat on your head. Got no good reason to get out of bed. A on such a gloomy grey day.
The late night lip service for lovers, loners and lounge lizards.
Where exactly is your accent from?
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Oh, I've forgotten your name already, excuse me.
On Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.